May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's the first Sunday after Easter, and we're going to be spending some time looking at Thomas, Doubting Thomas, as he's often called. And this passage that we read in John's Gospel is pretty much read every year the Sunday following Easter. Now, why is that? Well, because the setting of this passage chronologically fits with the Sunday after Easter. So what I'm going to do, I want to talk a little bit about this setting within the flow of John's Gospel. I want to talk a little bit about Thomas and this issue of doubt. I mean, doubting Thomas, you got to talk a little bit about doubt, right? And then I want to wrap it up and talk a little bit about faith. So first, the setting. The passage, the account, opens on the afternoon of Easter. Jesus rose from the grave that morning and had a pretty busy day. He spent some time on the road to Emmaus with two of the disciples and comes back to the city. And that afternoon, that evening, he appears to his disciples in the upper room. Now, it's interesting to note that the disciples had received these out of breath and excited reports that Jesus wasn't in the tomb anymore. In fact, Peter and John actually ran to the tomb after the women had come and said, "We saw Jesus." And they went, "Really?" They run up to the tomb, they look in like, "Oh, he's not there. What's going on?" Now, you think that by the end of the day, that, okay, we've had this idea that Jesus isn't in the grave anymore. What do you think that would have done for the disciples? It should have done something, you know, positive, maybe emboldened them a little bit. But at the end of the day on Easter, where are they? Locked in a room, hiding. Well, Jesus miraculously, I guess, teleports, is that the right word? Beams into the room with them. You know, one of the remarkable things about Jesus is after the resurrection, physical boundaries aren't really an issue for him anymore. It's kind of cool, actually. And so he just has this ability to just kind of appear next to people. And what's the first thing that Jesus says to the disciples when he appears in front of them? He says, "Peace be with you." Now, why would he say that? Well, probably, let me paint this picture for you. Let's say you're at your house, you've got some company over for dinner, and you're kind of doing your thing and eating along, and then poof, all of a sudden, Ben appears in the living room and says, "Hey guys, mind if I join you?" What are you going to do? You're going to freak out. Like, "Oh my gosh, what are you doing here?" Well, that's probably what the disciples were doing. They thought Jesus was dead, or they weren't sure, they're still hiding. And all of a sudden, boom, Jesus just appears right in front of them. They're gonna freak out. So Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, 1 week later from Easter, that's today, second Sunday of Easter for us, it happens again. Jesus appears a second time. And so, following in that same chronological order, we read this passage the Sunday after Easter as we're sort of, again, journeying with Jesus and his disciples. There's this one catch. Remember, last week in the evening when Jesus appears, one of the 12, Thomas, wasn't there. What was he doing? Well, we're not told. Maybe he was down at the tavern having a rough day because Jesus was dead. Remember, the disciples kind of went back to the way things were. So wherever Thomas was, he wasn't with the disciples. Jesus appears and they're like, "Hey, Thomas, guess what?" He's like, "Well, what did I miss, guys?" "Jesus is alive, we've seen him." He says, "Well, I'm not going to believe it unless I can touch him, unless I can put my finger in his side and see the nail wounds in his hands, then and only then will I believe." I think that's actually kind of weird, to be honest with you. I mean, really want to stick your finger in the side of a resurrected bodies. Like, I don't know, okay. Whatever, Thomas. But he says, unless I can see him, unless I can touch him, I'm not going to believe. In other words, I don't believe you guys. Now, think about that for a minute. 12 people, all at the same time, tell Thomas, we've seen him, he's alive, woohoo! And he basically says, nuh-uh, you guys are lying. Now, he doesn't say that specifically, but let's be honest, that's what he's saying. And so, what was going on with Thomas? Clearly, he had doubts. He doubted the word, the witness, the testimony of his fellow disciples. Clearly, he doubted the reality that Jesus was alive again. What do we do with that? Well, let me say a little bit about doubt. What exactly is doubt? I mean, we all have experienced that in our lives, haven't we? I mean, let's be honest. I doubt it's going to be sunny for 2 days in a row anytime soon. Right? There's those kind of doubts. But there's deeper doubts than that, too. You doubt the validity, the sincerity of a relationship. You might doubt what God is doing in your life. See, these are now we're getting into some deeper doubts. I'm not sure what God's doing in my life. Why is this happening? There's doubt. And the reality is that doubt is very much a real part of our lives, especially our lives as Christians. And I really do believe that God is able to work through our doubts, that he's able to reveal himself and teach us and correct us and bring us along, and so that even by his grace we might be in a stronger and better place because of those doubts. Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about and can testify to that goodness in God. But let's back up just a minute. Does that mean then that doubt is a good thing? I don't think it is. It's tempting to think doubts are a good thing. I've heard sermons that have said they are. But let's not kid ourselves. Is it good to doubt God? Is it good to doubt the fidelity of your spouse? No. So let's call a spade a spade. Doubt is not good. Now, it's part of our lives. Very much so. But that doesn't make it good. God can redeem our doubts and work through them, yes, but that doesn't make doubt good. In fact, what does Jesus say to his disciples, not just in this passage, but again and again and again throughout the Gospels? He says, why do you doubt, O you of little faith? So clearly, you know, Jesus isn't encouraging them when he says this, okay? This is an admonishment. He's saying, why are you doubting? So that's doubt. It's when we have a significant mistrust in something that we ought to trust. Right? That's what doubt is. And we deal with it. It's part of life. But that's what I want to say about doubt. Let me say a little bit about faith. Thomas was a lucky man. He had doubt, just like anybody else would have had doubt. Not good, but he had it. Now, he had something special happen to him. Jesus himself came back the next week and said, hey, Thomas, here I am. Now, let's be honest. You and I, if we're really going through a period of doubt, we can't pick up the big red phone and say, yes, could you send Jesus down? I need to touch him and just make sure everything's fine. Yes, appreciate it. And then poof, Jesus appears like, yes. It's all good. Thank you, Jesus. You can go back. Thank you. Now, if that's happened, you let me know. I want to hear about it. But let's be honest. We don't get that today, do we? Now, Thomas did. He was in a very unique situation to be an earthly disciple of Jesus during his time on this earth. And Jesus in his mercy appears to Thomas and says, "Hey, I'm here. Here are my wounds in my hands. Touch me. Put your finger in my side. See that I am really here and really alive." Wow. That's special. But what did Thomas do? What are we told in John's gospel that Thomas did? Did he march right up and stick his finger in Jesus' side? He may have, but we're not told that. John's gospel does not tell us, and then Thomas went forth and placed his hand into Jesus' side, and there, it doesn't say that, does it? I don't think Thomas did go up and touch Jesus. He may have. But you see, for Thomas to have gone up, even with Jesus' invitation, and touched the side and the wounds, that would have been the fruit of doubt. He still would have been doubting up to that point. And his action to come forward and touch Jesus would have still been the fruit of a doubtful heart. I still got to know, despite the fact that you're right in front of me. But what does Thomas do? What are we told is his response? A confession. A humble acknowledgement of who Jesus is. He says, "My Lord and my God." And I got to tell you, I don't think he said that standing up. Now again, we're not told that, but now that, what he said is the fruit, not of doubt, but of faith. And that's what Jesus wanted in Thomas. He wanted him to believe. In fact, Jesus says something very telling. I'm going to end on this. What does Jesus then say to Thomas when he makes this profession of Christ and this fruit of faith now? He says, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who what? Who have not seen me and yet still believe." Folks, that's you and me. We have not had a chance to reach out and, "Yes, there's Jesus." But we believe. And there's a blessing that comes from that. Because what God gives us through His Holy Spirit is not doubt, but faith. It's a gift that enables sinners like you and me to cling to Christ. Outside, above, and through, and deeper than, and more powerful than any doubts we might have. And that's how the gospel passage ends. It says, look, Jesus did many other signs and miracles which would have proved to the doubter that he was really alive and is who he says he was. But I haven't written those down. They're not here in this gospel book. But these things that I have written down, John says, have been written, why? So that you, that is the reader, the audience, you and me, so that you might come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that through believing in Him, you might what? Have life in His name. That is the fruit of faith. That's the gift of God to we who have not had the benefit of actually being with Jesus on this earth in this lifetime. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. Do you believe by God's grace?